scorso settembre ha vinto il Leone d'Argento al Festival del Cinema di Venezia e Women Without Men, l'opera prima di Shirin Shah, regista e artista iraniana da tempo in esilio volontario a New York. L'abbiamo incontrata a Firenze, dove in un gremito cinema Odeon ha presentato il suo film. Con lo sguardo rivolto inevitabilmente agli eventi di Teheran, abbiamo parlato di cinema, politica e censura, del ruolo delle donne nei moti dell'Onda Verde, del cinema come strumento di consapevolezza politica, di realismo magico e nostalgia, di Women Without Men, una storia di donne appunto, ma soprattutto una storia che parla di resistenza, di paura e di come sia necessario superarla. Iniziamo dai moti di Teheran e dal coinvolgimento attivo di molte giovani donne.
If you look at the modern history of Iran, women have always been very active culturally, politically. You know, this is not something completely new. But this summer, there were some key figures in Iranian politics that have been very inspirational for the young women to really take part in this change. It started with the election when there was a lot of meetings with people, with Mousavi and his wonderful wife. And that, you know, they were both artists, both Zahra and Mousavi have been very active as artists, but also professors. She runs the school, art school, so, you know, she is very popular among students. So in the way that they are not a typical, you know, she or him, although they're both very religious, as you can see, she's dressed in the veil and he's very much coming from that background, as you can see in his political history. But they're very liberal at the same time in terms of women's right, in terms of culture, in terms of moderation. And so indeed, she was a big force. But I can name many other women, writers, filmmakers, activists, Shirin Ebadi, many, many other ladies who have been also very inspirational. It absolutely does not represent the entire Iranian community, and if it did, we wouldn't have the problem that we're having. I think that it's not the question of economic class or the people who are educated and wealthy versus the people who are not educated and poor. I think it's really the question of the youth. You know, I think the Green Movement is initiated by, you know, a large number of people. I think there is 70% of the Iranian population is under 30 years old. And we're talking about a very eager community of young people who want to be even more modernized and they want to move forward. And then there are those who remaining very fanatic and very religious and in fact want to go backwards in time. So I think there, for me, the tension is exactly there. The young people who are really, really interested in taking Iran to, they're not really trying to make a revolution. They're basically trying to see more freedom and more liberty for their, you know, for the life that they live. Yet this is a problem because I think the only way the government feels that they can stay in power is through their insistence on religion and fanaticism and oppression. So the more they fight for liberation and some moderation, the more the government tightens the belt, the more oppressive they become. So this is a very hopeless situation. You cannot control internet as you can control film. In Iran, they have done everything they could to put filters in internet, in, you know, Facebook is not often available, Twitter. But what's really amazing is the culture of filmmaking. It's not a distant or like kind of elitist form. For Iranian people, Kiarostami or Jafar Panahi or all these people who, for the Western world, they seem like art house movie makers, average Iranian knows them and sees their work, at least when they're possible to see. So the young people, when they get their little telephone on their hand and they have the ability to shoot little footage, in the back of their mind, you have to understand they're coming from a very rich culture of filmmaking and arts. And it's not just pure technology, but a way that Iranians know how to tap in, like almost like a journalist, into the everyday life. And they're reporting, you know, they become reporters of the society. So in some ways, I think the filmmakers, particularly the filmmakers within the past 2-3 decades, have become reporters of the society, but in a very artistic, subversive way. So, you know, interestingly enough, this summer, the young students also replaced the journalists who couldn't go to Iran. So I think here journalism and culture are not so far apart, unusually so. First of all, my situation is very different than the directors that live in Iran, because I can be free and I can basically dictate my own boundaries. I don't have anyone over my head. But I do generally, and maybe that's because I'm Iranian, I do need to give myself a certain parameter. I cannot just work with infinity. For example, I decide on the style. I decide how far I want to go in terms of confronting religion and politics, where I want to stand. For example, in this particular film, I decided that I would depict all the different parties that were active at the time, but I'm not going to be biased. I'm not going to take sides. In other words, my way of working is also like about boundaries, but these are self-imposed boundaries. They're not imposed by a government. And magic realism, it's very interesting because it allows me to have a foot within the realism that I know, and magic is another realm that it's more like in my mind, it's my imagination. So it's like living between my imagination and the realism that I'm confronting as a woman, as an Iranian. I feel, in a way, it symbolically says something about what I experience as a woman, or what I would like every woman to do, is not to accept oppressive situation, but to find the courage always to rebel against the system, whatever it is. It could be just a husband or a brother or a traditional family, or it could be a government. But I think the idea of being courageous to take on the struggle of confronting fear and embracing change. And in a way, I think this is something that I tell myself every day, that don't be afraid, because there's so many reasons why we shouldn't be taking any risks, and it's easier to be comfortable and secure in whatever we are, even if it's not great. But I think my message in this film goes with what fundamentally what I believe is, that it's so much better when you do in fact take a risk, because nothing is more stagnant and terrifying than mediocrity and accepting a life that you shouldn't. Well, I have to tell you that the difference between, for example, how Panahi depicts the woman than me, is that I am really surrealistic. My work, it's much more metaphoric and allegorical. He's dealing with real issues, and that's because he lives in Iran. He has a real access to Iran. He knows what he's talking about. He is impressed and inspired by the realism, the documentary type of things that he sees, and he wants to bring that also into the arts. Mine is different, because mine, again, maybe because of the distance, that I don't live in Iran and I don't feel like I have the right or the command to be like truthful like he is, my work is much more timeless and much more allegorical. It can only function allegorically. So I cannot tap into the kind of truth that Panahi does, even though he's a man, you know. And that's okay for me, because I'm never interested in that type of work or that type of filmmaking for myself. I enjoy watching it, but it's not my style. For sure, nostalgia is a big part of it, but you have to understand that, you know, also I'm as Western as I'm Eastern, so a lot of my visual vocabulary, it's actually very conceptual, and it's based on conceptual art. And I mean, so, you know, it's not just pure nostalgic, it really represents who I am in terms of all my influences, visual and conceptual, and, you know, the art history that I've been exposed. So I cannot just reduce it to pure nostalgia.
Radio Papesse è un progetto di Ilaria Gadens, Carola Haupt e Cristiano Maggi.